Good afternoon. This is Susan Gingrich, the Herb Lady, and we're really privileged today to have a guest with us, Thomas Easley. He's from Alabama. And the two of us ran into each other again. We're old friends from our herb training all over the country. And we're at the Nature's Grapevine, Texas, at the rather famous, I guess, Gaylord Hotel here. It's quite the resort. And we have just been treated with some wonderful speakers through the week. And I asked Thomas to come and just kind of respond to some of these with me. He is a young man. He's 23 years old. I first met him in a training class for instructors for a course that is called Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad, which is kind of a threatening title to some medical professionals. But the idea is that as parents, we are the first sort of at the Nature Sunshine Convention in Dallas, Texas, at the Gaylord Resort. It's a phenomenal place. And I've been taking classes for the last 2 days from various rather famous herbalists. We took a class from Stephen Horn on Tuesday on Chinese herbs, and this morning got to hear Gary Null speak. I don't know, you probably, if you're a human being living in America, have heard the name or read an article, and you might not even have known it, but he was just a phenomenally inspiring man. And I asked a young man who I met several years ago named Thomas Easley, who I found wandering about in the hallway there, to come and join me on the show today and just kind of react to some of the things we've learned and talk to you a little bit about some of the things that he's doing in the South. I want to tell you a little bit more about how I met him. We were both taking a class called Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad, which is a course that Stephen Horn developed for the Tree of Light. If you ever want to know more about the Tree of Light, just go on the website treelite.com, and you can find out the schedules for the courses that he has developed and sponsors. And both Thomas and I are instructors of the Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad class. Now, the title of that sounds a little threatening to certain health professionals, but the idea is that we recognize that we have the responsibility as the first-line caregivers for our family, our young children, and it kind of helps to empower us in the notion that we are actually in charge of our own health. I mean, a lot of Americans have kind of dropped that notion. I'm going to get Thomas on here now. Thomas, say hello.
Hi.
Okay. I can hear you. Okay. And I guess we could just kind of start off with, we were just sitting here chatting about a class that we were in Tuesday. They were talking about Chinese herbs, and we had an Indian fellow teaching us some things, and he was talking about the Dalai Lama, who is accompanied by his personal physician, getting off an airplane in the United States, and he took one look around the waiting room there, and he begged permission to go back on the plane and leave. And when they asked him why, he said, "I thought America was on the verge of disaster in their health, but I realize now that I was wrong. You've already walked over the cliff." You know, it's so true. Thomas, you want to make any comment on the state of American health?
Yeah, I think the physician referred to what in Chinese medicine is known as the wind condition, and it simply means chaos. The winds in the sky are ever-changing, and he just looked around and saw that people had no set path. They were ever-changing also, and in that incredible change that Americans seem to undergo, being able to fly from San Francisco to New York in a day, driving 80 miles per hour on a freeway, these are all speeds and changes and directions that the human body was never designed to deal with, and so a wind condition is simply one of chaos, one in which the human body has a problem and struggle with.
Okay, I'm not sure if we're continuing or starting over. I'm cut off again. Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Am I on?
You're still on.
Good, okay. this is the day of false starts here. Okay, so this is Susan Gingrich, the Herb Lady, and I'm just checking to see whether we're starting over again. We might as well act as though we are. I'm Susan Gingrich, and I'm in Dallas, Texas at the Nature Sunshine Convention with Thomas Easley, a fellow herbalist from southern Alabama. Thomas, let's just go from here. Where do you mainly teach your courses?
I primarily teach in South Alabama, southern Mississippi, northwest Florida, and occasionally in the Asheville, North Carolina region.
And I'm busy working through Ohio, Indiana, Michigan. I've taught for Nature Sunshine all over the country in the past, and we both can go, you know, anywhere within a reasonable drive to teach these courses. Let's talk about Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad.
Okay.
That's a class about mainly it's a class about the frontline things that happen, just normal stuff like splinters, high fevers. What else did you say about it, Thomas?
Oh, earaches, sore throats, headaches, just the normal achy day-to-day stuff that a family goes through and spends way too much money trying to pay doctors to fix it.
When I first took the course to learn how to teach it, I remember picking up quite a few little tidbits. And very soon after that, I found myself at the home of a physician's assistant. She'd worked with doctors for years, prescribing things and doing, you know, all of the frontline things for a doctor's office. And her two-year-old developed a fever suddenly of about 104 degrees. And I remembered, you know, from that class some basic things to do. I said the first thing I did was put him in a cool tub, cooled him down, and asked her what kind of garlic product she had at home. She did have some garlic oil, and we started rubbing that on his feet and worked it up his spine. And within just about a half an hour, we had that down to about 100. It was fast.
Fevers really are not that big a deal. I think parents tend to overreact. Kids are extremely resilient, and I normally don't even treat a fever unless it's over 103.5 in adults and possibly 104 in kids. Fevers are the immune system simply reacting to pathogens and toxins, and you need to let it run its course. Now, if they're dehydrated, it goes too high, you definitely need to work on lowering that in the a cold ice bath, alcohol wipes. There are a couple of really good remedies for kids. Red raspberry and black cohosh are wonderful fever remedies in small doses. They lower it wonderfully.
And generally, we really want to support the body in its process to go ahead and cook out the pathogen, whatever it is that's bothering the body. So, you know, we don't want to just rush right out and cool a person down. We want to support and help you sweat it out. You ever hear of sweat out a fever, you know, get in a tub, work up the real sweat. Two of my favorite herbs for that. I ran into a fellow one time who had been kind of suffering with a chronic coughing cold kind of whoopy thing for a couple of weeks, and he was just kind of miserable with it, but had to go to work the next day. And I said, do you have any sage in your kitchen drawer? And he said, I sure do. And I said, go get in a hot tub, put some Epsom salts in there, about a cup, and throw some sage leaves in and see what happens. And, boy, he worked up a sweat. He called me the next morning. He said he sweat when he got out of that tub for a good half an hour afterward and woke up just fine the next day.
And sage is one of those magic herbs. It tends to work in the direction that you intend it to. So, for instance, if you need to sweat, you can drink hot sage tea, and it'll make you sweat. But if you have night sweats, you make cold sage tea, and it stops your night sweats. So it's something that everybody has in their cabinets, and it would fix the majority of both colds and the side effects of PMS.
I read one time about pioneers coming in, and they used sage for 35 different things, and they couldn't imagine not having sage with them. But you didn't know when you moved to a new part of the country what kind of plants you'd have, so they brought their sage with them. Rosemary was another one that they moved a lot. But sage. One other time, I had a friend who'd had to have a cyst removed. She had to have an emergency surgery, and when out of that surgery, she started hot flashing. It was rolling. I mean, she just called me miserable. And I started looking things up in a book. And I mean, I didn't have much experience at that point, but I did. Okay, and we're back. This is Susan Gingrich, the Herb Lady, and we have Thomas Easley here with us. We're not sure where we left off on that last little glitch, but
I think we were talking about helping the body out in its natural processes. If you're going through a hot flash, heat it up even more, and the body will get over its processes, and that'll be that.
Okay. speaking of heating or cooling, another favorite one of mine is yarrow. I have used that so many times. You just throw the fresh leaf into a hot tub, and you want to talk about a sweat. That one will. What it does is to regulate the blood flow in the body, too. And that one has been used since the ancient times. The Roman soldiers would pick it along the road, and they would use that as a stanching herb to stop the flow of blood in a stab wound, and it actually has a natural antiseptic quality. So it would keep it from infecting as well. So that one's been known forever and ever. Thomas and I were up here talking the other night about Lyme's disease. And I'd be kind of intrigued with going into a remedy that he's discovered for that. First of all, how big a problem is it in this country?
Well, it depends on the experts that you talk to. The problem is only two labs can accurately test for Lyme's disease, and I've heard that one of those isn't doing that good a job anymore. So it's estimated that as much as 80% of the American population has an undiagnosed case of Lyme's disease. Now, I don't know what the low end of that is. I call it somewhere in my clinical experience around 20-30%. That's normally the range that I treat. And there's an interesting herb with quite a history of it called teasel that I use for Lyme's disease. It's a Matthew Wood remedy. And the problem with Lyme's disease is the spirochetes worm their way into the muscle tissue, and it's really hard to get out. Once it's in its, you know, if you catch it early and it's in the bloodstream, a little bit of Oregon grape, anything with burbine in it, you know, golden seal, stuff like that, that will kill the Lyme's disease. But once it worms its way into the muscle tissue, you have to force it back out. And teasel has traditionally been used as a muscle remedy. It's great for muscle tears and pulls and, you know, aches and pains related to the muscular system. And in this process, it squeezes the spirochetes back out into the bloodstream, and you can kill them off with a little bit of Oregon grape, nice blood purifier like red clover or burdock to help the liver get rid of those. And it's just a wonderful remedy. It's inexpensive, and it works really fast. Generally, I see about 80% results in 3 weeks or less with teasel for Lyme's disease.
Wow. Now, I was at another convention 2 weeks ago. It was in North Carolina, and another ND from Alabama was talking about Lyme's disease. And one of the things he said that they have just discovered, and I just love this, is that if you sting a person with a bee, that will paralyze that spirochete, and it'll stay open for a good 3 hours. So then you heavy dose with the thing to kill it off, like this teasel, or he was talking about various things like colloidal silver, grape pine, a combination of pine and grape is a high-level antibiotic. And, of course, garlic is just the oldest antibiotic out there. So that would be another good one to throw into that. And then you do everything you can to support the immune system at the same time. And then he said to, you know, give it 3 days, real hard hitting, and then back off. And you'll have kind of a reaction. You'll have a healing crisis, and then give yourself 3 days rest, and then do it again and keep doing that until you don't have any reaction anymore. But he was saying that it's a really rather pervasive illness right now, and we see a lot of people who are just exhausted all the time. That could be it, you know. So that's the issue on Lyme's disease. Okay, so what are some of the other things we've heard about? Gary Knoll this morning was just fascinating, wasn't he?
He really was. I don't know how old he is, but he is in such great shape. It's amazing.
Yeah, and he races, and he says the last 32 races he has won.
No, he's raced for 32 years. The past 400 races he's won.
Oh, I missed that. Okay,
yeah.
That's good. Yeah, so he says you can't tell people to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. Now, that leads us to another one that kind of was a main speaker, Dr. Rodier. Hugo Rodier from Utah, Salt Lake City, was speaking this morning. And his favorite topic, I think in the last 4 years, it's the only topic I've really heard him speak about, is sugar, that we eat too much refined sugar. And refined sugar creates a problem with insulin resistance in the body. And then that insulin resistance and that irritation throughout the bloodstream is what calls up the cholesterol. And then you have extra cholesterol in the liver, and then you have the body not able to handle those fats. And what he's basically been making the point is that sugar is at the root of all illness. It used to be called Syndrome X, and he had a new name for it today. What was it?
Psychoneuroimmune endocrine disorder. is
you wrote that down, didn't you?
Okay. He's actually that was a name proposed in JAMA about 3 years ago, and it's just now becoming accepted because he said the body works as a whole, and you can't say there's this one syndrome that causes all of these problems. It's all related to this underlying standard American diet, the sad diet that we eat.
Right. And he was also mentioning that even corn syrup that's added to so many children's foods sets up a situation where you've got receptor sites that are being actually created that take on, how is that, Thomas? Help me out with that. It was like things like opiates. It's the same receptor site as opiates, and it sets you up for addiction.
Oh, yeah, the addictive aspect of your starting your corn syrups and sugars at an early age. The body just wasn't designed for that. You have little lock and key mechanisms, and basically you get your locks and keys mixed up to enter the nutrients into the cells, and one of the mix-ups can be an opiate sugar glucose receptor site mix-up, and then it's just it stimulates pleasure cells. I mean, nobody said that eating sugar didn't feel good then. It's just the long-term effects on the body that are detrimental.
Yeah, and he was saying that years ago, back in 1931, there was a study done that showed that cancer is an illness of too much sugar. And, of course, we all know that diabetes, once you've got diabetes, what do you have to stop? You know, it's like about time. It's so funny. My dear sister-in-law, one time, she called me and she said, I've got diabetes. And I said, I know. Your mother had it, your brother has it, you know, and yet every time I see you, you're eating sugar. Now, wouldn't you have put two and two together and figured? She said, of course I did. That's why I ate as much sugar as I could before I got the diabetes.
Oh, wow.
No, really, she said that.
And it's situations like that that show you it's not genetic. Unless you have type 1 juvenile diabetes, it's not genetic. So unless you were diagnosed with diabetes before 20, and even now some type 2s are being diagnosed at an earlier age, it's not genetic. Think about it this way. It really doesn't matter what genes you have if you eat the same crap foods that your parents ate and their parents ate. It's going to cause inflammation in the body, and inflammation is the root cause of, I'd say, 90-95% of American illness, and it all starts with inflammatory foods to eat, the number one inflammatory food being sugar.
So Thomas and I have compared notes, and when we consult with people, one of the first things we tell them is to stop eating sugar. Now, that brings up an interesting one. When Dr. Rodier finished his talk today, he put a picture of Gandhi up on the screen, and he told the story about Gandhi. You tell it, Thomas.
Some well-known parents in an area that Gandhi was visiting wanted to bring their son to meet Gandhi because he had a weight problem. He was excessively obese, and so they brought the son to meet Gandhi and said, Gandhi, would you please tell our son to stop eating sugar? We know that's what's causing his problem, and he'll listen to you. And Gandhi said, well, if you'll bring him back in 3 weeks, I'll talk to him. And so they brought their son back in 3 weeks, and the boy went into the room, and Gandhi leaned over and said something to him, came out. The boy never ate sugars again. Years later, the parents wound up running into Gandhi, and they said, I don't know if you remember us, but we asked you to tell our son to stop eating sugars. And Gandhi said, yeah. And they said, well, we just have a question. Why did you have to wait 3 weeks before telling him to stop eating sugars? And Gandhi simply said, at that time, I was eating sugars. I had to know how hard it was to quit before I could ask anybody else to do it.
Yes, and we have had to do that ourselves, right? So let's delve into that question, because that really wasn't covered today. We heard Gary Noll talking about how he consults with people and what he tells them. And he says, let's not concern ourselves with the name of the disease. Let's just work toward wellness. And the way you do that is to stop eating certain things. And he said, meat, chicken, you can have some fish if you want to. Go to raw, fresh foods. Fix your salad ahead of time, press it in a baggie, and take the air out, and you've got a week's worth of salads ready to pull out of the refrigerator. And he said, juice on Sunday and freeze your portions, put them in the freezer, and then you're ready to go. Pull them into the refrigerator as you need them to thaw. And raw, live foods is his way to heal anything. He said you'll see even menopause symptoms reverse when you start to eat real, live foods that have enzymes in them and that have real building blocks and so forth. And even prostate problems and cancer and diabetes and all of it has to do with what we're eating. And he has done study after study to show this is true. And yet the paradigm of our modern medicine, where we want to be able to do whatever we want to do and then have somebody fix us, is so present in our culture that people can't even see the research. You know, it's really hard to break through and go over to there. But now let's just say that you're inspired to consider straightening up your diet. How hard is it to stop sugar, and how do you do it?
Well, I think it's incredibly hard in our modern society to stop doing anything because we are addicted to our senses. I think what we have to do first off is we have to realize that you can't deprive your body of foods and get good results. So I don't recommend any type of intense, you know, starvation, fasting type programs. While they are effective for some people, I think what you have to do is you have to love your body enough to only eat the best foods. You have to become a food snob. If I want a steak, instead of eating a steak once a week, I'll save up and go buy a free-range organic grass-fed steak that costs 10 times as much, and it's a wonderful steak. You know, if you're going to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, make them organic. You'll eat less because it fills you up more. They taste better. The key thing is to enjoy the finer tasting foods, and your taste buds will change in about 3 weeks of eating healthy. You won't crave the foods as much. And for those carbohydrate cravings, a little tip for you. Good fats in the morning take away those late night 8 and 9 o'clock carbohydrate and sugar cravings. So a tablespoon of coconut oil first thing in the morning with breakfast takes away those sugar cravings throughout the day.
Ah, and how about flaxseed oil? I usually put that in my juice in the morning.
Flaxseed oil in the morning. Eat walnuts, raw walnuts
with
your
breakfast. Oh, that's right. You mentioned that, didn't you?
Yeah, super high. Almonds, walnuts, cashews, pecans, Brazil nuts, all of those are high in good fats. Avocados.
Avocados. Yeah, I was just going to say we got 5 or 6 avocados right here in the hotel room because we wouldn't want to be without our fats. We get crabby without them. My daughter and I both, you know, it's just, it helps to keep your skin in good shape and you just keep your mood in better shape when you keep the good essential fatty acids in. Here's a rule of thumb on essential fatty acids. I tell people to look for 1 to 3 tablespoons a day of good fats in their diet. And they like look at me like I'm nuts. You know, A, they're either on Lipitor and they're supposed to be on a fat-free diet from the doctor, or B, they're worried about their weight and they think that fats are going to put the weight on. And in actual fact, getting good essential fatty acids in will help to burn off the fats around the middle and off the thighs and all those cellulite things that we don't like, those cottage cheese looks that we get into.
Well,
your
good fats are a flexible fat. The fat that you have layered around your mid-layer is a harder adipose tissue. It's your cell walls have been replaced instead of flexible fats. They've been replaced with transhydrogenated fatty acids, and they're really stiff and inflexible, and then the body has a hard time getting nutrients into them, and you have insulin resistance in that area, and it layers more inflammation around the midsection, which is just water weight. And it's a whole conundrum that you have of, you know, trying to go on a low-fat diet and lose weight. It just doesn't work. You have to get essential fats in.
Okay, now, Thomas, let's go back to this issue of how do you stop sugar. One book that I read and I recommend is Sugar Blues. It really gets into the politics of the situation. And it says right there in the book that it's harder to stop a sugar habit than it is heroin. So get that. If you go out of here today and you vow that you're not going to eat sugar again, and tomorrow you go, oh, I just want a candy bar. It's no big deal. You really are addicted to it, okay? And you'll give yourself all the excuses that an addict does. So how do you really do this? Now, physiologically, when I quit sugar years ago, I did it just for willpower alone, and I really wasn't that attracted to sugar. It was caffeine and nicotine that I was interested in at that point. So those were a little bit harder for me. But the sugar, for some people, just can be just really hard to do. And I'll tell you this. If you think that since you've been off it for a week, you might just have the little piece of pie at the church dinner, and then you'll wake up an hour later and realize you've tasted every piece of pie on that table. You can't stop once you start again. What it does is it raises the blood sugar, and then as it starts to drop, you'll go get more to keep your blood sugar up, and you don't even watch yourself doing it. So the thing with sugar is you have to treat it like heroin. None of this, I'm only eating a little a day. It would be like telling a heroin addict, fine, just take a little every day. That's fine. That's not going to work. So one of the things that has worked in the past for me is to give my clients a small dose of noni juice every day. That gives a certain number of good sugars to the cells so that once you've satisfied the body with what it's needing, it doesn't crave the bad version, which is the white sugar. Now, understand that in a can of pop, you have 9 teaspoons of sugar, which is equivalent to 34 cane feet of sugar cane. Now, we were not designed by nature to sit down and eat that much sugar cane at one time. And when you put that much in your system at once, it's like jet fuel. And up goes your blood sugar, and you're on this roller coaster for the rest of the day, and you won't quit until you pass out at night. You might wake up at 4 in the morning as your blood sugar rises again, feeling tired, run down, you want to sleep, and you can't because your blood sugar's up. It's like it's gone down, and it has to come back up at that point. So when you're on that roller coaster, you're not getting the rest you need. And you're hyping yourself with white sugar. So another thing that I have found that helps is chromium, GTF, which helps to provide your body with the chromium that it's looking for in the sugar cane. There's actually chromium in natural sugar cane. Your body knows that. But it's refined out, and it's not there. So you're eating sugar cane looking for chromium. It can't deal with the last fat pile of sugar that you ate. You're in a catch-22 that just keeps you rolling with it. So taking the chromium internally in a capsule form will kind of help to stop that cycle. I just heard about some new products this morning called glyconutrients, and it's a combination of 8 different essential sugars. If you take those from a supplement form, again, you're supplying the body with the correct sugars, and you won't find yourself craving the other junk. Now, I haven't yet experimented with that with a lot of people yet. I've tried it with 2 or 3 people, and it really has helped with a lot of situations.
Yeah, I have. I worked with a couple of the earlier versions of the nano sugars that were on the market, and it really is handy not only for sugar cravings, but with insulin resistance. When your lock and key mechanisms get messed up, basically you can think of the key being the insulin trying to enter the lock of the cell, and so the key gets rusted, basically, because of this chronic inflammation up and down in blood sugars. And what these simple sugars do is they help polish that key off. They help fill its form out so that it enters the lock of your insulin receptor sites correctly and allows nutrients and energy into the cell. So you'll actually have more energy and less inflammation by taking simple sugars. Now, I don't want anybody to think that we have a grudge against all sugars, because there are essential sugars for the body. And your sugars out of fruit, for instance, cause no harm to the body. The reason for that being the ratio of sugar to fiber to your eliac acid. You know, there are certain fruits that are better than others. You know, I tell most of my clients to stay away from bananas and strawberries, just because they tend to have high sugar, low fiber ratios. And they tend to, if you tell people they can eat every fruit out there, they tend to, you know, I have people that will only eat four bananas a day. And you need the wide variety. You know, I heard today that blueberries were ranked number 5 in the most nutritious foods available. So blueberries are a wonderful food. They have simple sugars in them. They're anti-inflammatory. They help out with heart disease because they're anti-inflammatory. They help out with cancer. A handful of blueberries every day is just as essential as a handful of walnuts or Brazil nuts or almonds every day. You know, the nuts provide the fat. Avocados provide the fat. The blueberries provide your sugar and your antioxidants that keep you going throughout the day and prevent heart disease and arteriosclerosis and cancer and fibromyalgia and arthritis. And you can actually get a super concentrated version of these antioxidants in a couple of new and exciting fruit drinks today.
Tygo is one. I'm back on. I got fell off again. Tygo is one that has 11 essential antioxidant products in it. It has mangosteen, wolfberry. What else is in there?
Has mangosteen, wolfberry, grape skin, blueberry, raspberry. It has the gambit of your antioxidant fruits, and antioxidants cool down the body. They reduce inflammation.
one of the things that that's juice is, we're getting spontaneous testimonials on that one, is that it improves eyesight. If you put that together with a combination that has some vitamin A, some lutein, what else is good for eyes? It's in a product we've got called Perfect Eyes. What else is in that one, Thomas? I'm not thinking well. Okay, you put those together, and we've gotten really good results with eyesight problems.
I've got a testimony on my own personal eyesight. Now, I don't treat disease in people, nor in myself, but I knew I had bad eyes. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to take something specifically for my eyes. I just tried to build my health in general. So I just went and got some new glasses a couple months ago. It'd been 5.5 years since I went. I'd improved my diet. I'd quit drinking soft drinks. You know, I'd started eating healthier, and my eyesight in 5 years went from 20/300, which is legally blind, to 20/70. Which means I can almost not wear my glasses and see most things. It's amazing how, well, by just improving your overall health, your eyesight gets.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I need to work on that. As I'm getting older, my arms aren't long enough, you know, for reading some of that finer print. And I really need to focus on some of those antioxidants. You know, a lot of people are concerned about taking too many supplements, like it's going to be damaging. I got some information from someone from the Journal of the American Medical Association. This information showed a study over a 10-year period from 1983 to 1993. And in that time period, there was a bar graph, and it showed that on an average, each year, there were over 100,000 deaths per year from prescription drug use. And then about 9,000 deaths per year from food poisoning, 300 total from all over-the-counter drugs. There were three total in that whole 10-year period from all supplements, and that included the three bottles of tryptophan that came in from Japan once, and then zero from all herbs in that time period. And yet we constantly hear on the news media about how dangerous it is if you get too much of this or too much of that, and I'm working with a bunch of older clients in a retirement village, and they're always counting up the milligrams, and they'll say, well, I can't take this with this, or I'll get over the USRDA of my vitamin A, and that could kill me, you know, and I just keep reminding, it's such a funny mindset to me. The body will take the nutrients that you give it, and if you give it a wealth of nutrients, it'll make you a marvelous machine, and then it'll throw away what it doesn't need, or it'll store it up for a rainy day. There's really no such thing as overdosing on good nutrients. Even vitamin A is not something that I worry about. My husband takes 100,000 IUs every day. And, you know, the worst that can happen is you might turn a little bit yellow after a year. But, you know, that's one that a lot of people are really worried about. And there was a study that came out and hit the news a couple of years ago about how vitamin A causes cancer. Well, if that were true, then Dr. James, who is the man they named a cancer hospital after in Columbus, Ohio, wouldn't have told my husband that was the best thing to take for cancer.
You know, I've not had it confirmed by anybody that was actually directed the study, but I heard that in the independent studies that were done to confirm that and deny that, the vitamin A that they were using was actually a synthetic derived from the Kodak film processing company. That's one
no.
of the leftovers of
I
developing
didn't know that.
Film.
That's too good.
I think the press is sometimes intentionally misleading with these studies. For instance, the ephedra controversy a couple of years ago. You know, they claimed that there were, what, 6 or 7 deaths from ephedra. I know for a fact, a guy that actually did research and presented it in front of Congress, that 2 of the people that supposedly died from ephedra were in car wrecks. The ephedra was in their glove box, so they blamed the car wreck on the ephedra.
Yeah,
I know that one of the guys tested positive for cocaine, not ephedra.
Oh, my word.
So it's intentionally misleading the public. I think it's just a media flaw that, you know, they have corporate sponsors and have to back.
Well, I asked my brother, the economist, what we use, you know, how the economy is based in this country, and he said, Susan, it's based on the pharmaceuticals, don't you know? And I said, oh, that would explain a lot. But you see, if I were to tell someone to go out in the yard and pick dandelion, no one's making money off that. And if we all knew that dandelion was as good as the Lipitor or whatever, then they couldn't charge $200 a bottle for what they're charging. So, you know, really, you have to look at the source of your studies and make sure that you're actually reading a good one. And just use your common sense. You don't have to have a PhD to read studies. You just read it and look at it carefully. Back to that one on vitamin A. Those were the study was too small. They only had a small handful of people, and they did it on smokers, and they concluded that vitamin A caused lung tumors. Now we know that smoking does that, and all that that study could possibly conclude that might point a finger at the vitamin A is that it might mean that if you're a smoker, that vitamin A causes your lungs to be more absorbent, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, and you certainly cannot extrapolate that finding out into the general public that's non-smoking. So you just have to look at it, you know. But I just found it fascinating that hit the news as vitamin A causes cancer, and I've had 2 years of trying to erase that out of people's minds. Vitamin C, I remember being in Florida when they announced that vitamin C causes cancer. Well, come on.
How long did Linus Pauling do research on vitamin C? It was like,
right.
What, 20, 30 years?
Yeah.
No, they use vitamin C to treat and combat cancer in a high-dose intravenous form.
Exactly.
You know, I've had people take 100,000 milligrams in 2 hours of intravenous vitamin C.
Ah, wow. And it doesn't hurt them.
No.
No, the worst that can happen is you get loose bowels, and we could all use a little bit looser bowels. That's
absolutely
what they call taking it to bowel tolerance. When you're dealing with vitamin C, you take it to the point where it causes loose bowels, and then you can back up a little bit, and that's how you know how much you can tolerate.
Same thing with magnesium. In fact, I recommend high-dose magnesium and vitamin C for bowel problems over a stimulant laxative like Cascara or Senna, I'd say 99 times out of 100.
Thomas, let's talk a little bit about some of the other classes that you teach in Tree of Light. We both teach the ABC plus D as well. That's a great course, and I need to be teaching that more. So if anybody's out there who's interested in these courses, please get a hold of Tree of Light, treelight.com, and let them know that you're interested in having something in your area. We'd love to come and teach them. That course is organized by systems of the body, and we're looking at three different parameters, kind of a Chinese view of it, full and empty, hot and cold, wet and dry. And we go through each system of the body and talk about herbs that help to bring balance back on all three of those parameters, I guess you'd call it.
And it's based on a really unique philosophy in Western herbalism. In Western herbalism, we lost a couple hundred years of our history, and there have been gaps, and so having to bridge all of this back together, whereas the Chinese have had a continuous 5,000-year history and Ayurveda has had a continuous, 4,000-year history. So the ABC plus D approach is about a systematic approach to Western herbalism. It stands for activate, build, cleanse, and then provide direct aid. Do you want to take activate and tell us a little bit about that?
Well, activate is about releasing the nutrients. Enzymes are what I use for activating. It breaks up the food, any food that you're bringing into your body, and makes it useful. And then I also use homeopathics for that, because that'll activate you on an energetic level. Bach flower remedies will do that. And I'd say also there was something else I was going to say that does that. What am I thinking of?
Acupuncture, sound therapy,
yeah,
light
okay.
therapy. All of these are activating the body's energies. Positive affirmations, even.
Right.
Telling yourself that you feel good, that you love yourself.
Gary said today about 40% of it is being happy. Just decide to be happy. Decide to deal with your circumstances. That's 40% of your health right there. Fascinating. Okay, the B is build. Go.
B is build. Building the body simply means eating nutritious foods. You are what you eat, and the more good food you eat, the better you'll feel. That also includes taking supplements, nutrients that you might not be getting in your food or probably aren't getting in your food, like trace minerals and colloidal suspension, like extra vitamins. The minerals, I think, would probably be the most important part of building. The body will use what it needs and then get rid of the rest.
Let's go back and throw those essential fatty acids into
essential
that.
Essential fatty acids, yeah. Absolutely.
Amino acids even go in that category.
Yes.
And we have to supplement these because our soils are depleted of really good nutrients. Back in 1935, there was a law that went through Congress that had one of those little things added to it that stated that all Americans should be taking trace mineral supplements. They forgot to tell us that in school. Okay, so that's a B. And the C is cleanse. And on a regular basis, do some detoxifying that's purposeful.
The body naturally detoxifies itself, but sometimes you need to give it a break from using all of its energy to digest foods and let it work specifically on detoxification. I recommend to my clients 4 1-week detoxes a year or 2 2-week detoxes a year, and I use combinations that have scholagogues and stimulants, liver stimulants and stuff like that to help the body detox. I think probably one of my favorite all-time products, no matter what, is All-Cell Detox. I love All-Cell Detox for detoxification. That and EnviroDetox to a lesser extent. But helping the body get rid of bad things by taking fiber and something to force the liver to dump the bile where all the toxic stuff is stored, I think is essential, and that's what cleansing is all about.
Right.
And D, direct aid to specific organ systems.
Okay, so that's ABC. And then D would be direct aid. And that's just a small portion of what you put together in an herbal program. I've said that people are afraid to take, that they'll take too many supplements, but good grief. You know, if it's not in our food, you got to get it somewhere.
Absolutely. When my mother first started in herbs 10 years ago, she's the one that got me into this, and she had chronic kidney infections, and she had E. coli in her kidneys, and her program, her starting program was 124 capsules a day. Now, people think that's outrageous, but if you look at the Chinese, for instance, that use herbs in their cooking, and they make broth and soups and teas out of it all the time, you know, every day they take the equivalent of 150 capsules of herbs, which would be, 75 grams of herbs a day. So it's really taking herbs, vitamins, and minerals is essential. Chances are you're not going to take a lot. I'd always advise you to consult your local herbalist or consult one of us. And I think Susan has some contact information.
Yes, we should let you know. Well, you could reach us. My website is lavenderglen.com, LAVENDERGLEN. And my email address is ngingrich, GINGERICH, at cinci.rr.com. Thomas, tell them yours.
My email address is tmeasley, EASLEY, at hotmail.com.
Okay, and if anybody has a question for us, we have a few minutes left. Call toll-free at 1-877-876-5227. And Canada can call in at 888-810-8322, okay, for any questions that you might have for us. Thomas, how did you get started in all this? By the way, Thomas is 23 years old. I just have to tell on him. And he's been doing this since he was 14. He just has a natural gift for finding the right thing to heal somebody.
I got started when I was 14 years old. I have a twin sister, and she got very sick. All of a sudden, she woke up, and every morning for 6 weeks, she would dry heave over the toilet. She was nauseous. She had chronic headaches. She couldn't eat. We took her to 5 of the best medical doctors in the U.S., and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And the last one finally said, well, we've checked for everything else. Let's do a CAT scan and make sure she doesn't have a brain tumor. It really affected our whole family. You know, when somebody says tumor in a girl that's 14 years old, you get scared. And that night, a family friend said, why don't you bring it to an herbalist that's coming to town? I grew up in a small town population of about 50. We didn't know what an herbalist was. We'd heard of, you know, geritol and one-a-days, but that was about it. And so this herbalist came around and looked at my sister, you know, looked in her eyes, science called iridology, through some different things, was able to tell that she was simply constipated. You know, herbalists love to talk about bowel movements, I think, because the bowels
we
really are.
We talk about them all the time.
Yeah, they're the key to detox.
Colors, shapes, size, floaties or not, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, this lady said, sweetie, what do your bowel movements look like? And, you know, they were little round balls, and she was only having them every few days. Turns out she was so impacted, the hair-like follicles in her gut had started dying off, and she wasn't absorbing nutrients. And no matter how much she ate, she was starving to death. 6 days after being on Cascara Sagrada, all of her symptoms disappeared. 6 weeks later, she was totally better. No side effects. It wasn't a brain tumor. She simply was eating the wrong foods and causing constipation. And that's how I got started in this. Shortly thereafter, my mom opened up a herb store. I started working it and did a 5-year apprenticeship with a master herbalist and then went from there, opened my store, started training.
We heard that same point this morning. Someone made the point that America's starving itself on a full stomach. We have malnutrition just chronically in the United States. That's why everybody's so fat. We eat and eat. And you know what? If your body doesn't get what it's needing, it'll just keep stuffing it in the face. There's a hole under your nose, and it just shovels it right in there, looking for certain minerals and certain vitamins. And you can't stop if you're not getting those nutrients. So we need to really start focusing on what we need to put in the hole first, and then the rest of that crap won't follow it. And we, as a country, we really truly aren't malnourished. Just look around. I've done some traveling in Europe and Australia, and one of the things that happens, if you're gone for 6 weeks, you come back and you're just astounded by the size of the people in the U.S. One of the things that's happened in our local hometown is that the local farm supply store has started carrying T-shirts in size 7 extra large. 7. It used to be 2 extra large was the biggest size they had. They're up to 7 now. Those farmers are sitting up in that big air-conditioned combine, and they're getting
breathing
better.
In xenoestrogens all day, and yeah,
and then look around your cities. You know, there are people who really can't walk; they can't get around because they're just putting on this weight, and it's not really their fault. But we need to educate ourselves on what we truly need to put in the hole under the nose. Okay, we're down to 5 more minutes. What would you like to talk about, Tom?
What is your absolute favorite single herb, and what do you use it for?
Okay, my absolute bottom line single herb. Boy, that's hard. That's like, if I make a choice like that, my other children will be unhappy, you know, because they're all my babies. I had a greenhouse before I started really bottling these things up, and so I know them as plants, and almost I tell people I know them as people.
Right.
Oh, let me think about that a minute. What's yours? I'll come back.
It's a toss-up, but I think my favorite is going to have to be Yellow Dock.
Yellow Dock.
I love Yellow Dock.
Is that
Yellow
hot?
Dock is such a cooling remedy, and I think it, you know, since we're such a hot nation, we're so inflamed all over, it really, really helps not only cool the body down, cool the stomach down, cool the gut down. I use it for Crohn's. You can see Crohn's, the symptoms of the chronic inflammation disappear within just a few days of taking a good, solid Yellow Dock tincture or capsules. I've seen acid reflux. I tell people carry a couple Yellow Dock around with them if they're having an acid reflux attack. You just open 2 capsules, put in a little glass of water. Within 30 seconds, acid reflux is gone. You know, cleanses the liver, purifies the blood. Yellow Dock is probably one of my favorite single herbs. Now, of course, I've got hundreds as well as you, but I think as far as has such a wide range of application, not as much so as dandelion, but I don't know. Dandelion aggravates me. Yellow Dock, I just like.
Oh, okay. I can't pick a favorite. I'm really stuck on that. But I will talk about cordyceps. It's a fascinating Chinese herb that is. It used to be available only to the emperor of China. And something about a caterpillar body, and then the fungus grows where the caterpillar body was, and then you have this fungus shaped like a little caterpillar is what you end up with. And that does miraculous things with respiratory problems. I've heard of somebody who had the skin on the bottom of their feet was so torn up that they couldn't stand and walk, and about a month of cordyceps, and that took care of itself. So it's really good for skin repair as well. Just for magical things, cordyceps is kind of wonderful. Gosh. Okay, give me your second favorite.
Dandelion. I like the things that grow in backyards.
I do too.
You know, dandelion. There's a popular herbalist from Syracuse, New York, by the name of Seven Song, that says if Americans knew what all dandelion would fix, it would be extinct.
And yet, well, our chemical companies are busy trying to kill it off.
Right.
You know, I just thought of what I'd have to say is my very favorite secret herb. I grow it in my garden because we can't sell it off the shelf. It's comfrey. There's nothing like it for fixing things like broken bones, even slipped discs in the back. It puts together structure in the best way. And we don't have time to go into the legal situation about it, but I can put it in a nutshell. Basically, someone died who had liver cancer already, and when the coroner came, he found comfrey capsules on her bedstand. So he declared on her death certificate that she died of comfrey use. And then they took the active ingredient from the comfrey leaf and injected it under the skin of rats. Now, rats cannot regurgitate, and what they did was instead of actually giving the whole leaf, they magnified the active ingredient by 1,000 times and injected that into the rats, who developed liver cancer. Therefore, they concluded comfrey causes liver cancer. Well, someone else replicated the same experiment using whole leaf comfrey, and the rats did not develop liver cancer. That did not get published, really. It did not get spread around. It's just like that vitamin A study. I use it all the time for things like constant sprains or even rotator cuff problems. And another one in that same class would be astragalus, by the way. It will also do the same sort of thing. But to repair even slipped discs and cartilage that's moved, just general repair on the body, sprains. We had a young fellow who came to us. He'd shot a nail gun through his ankle. It went clear through. And they went to the emergency room, and when they came back, Mom called me and said, what am I supposed to do about this? And I said, Comfrey, you have some over there? And she did. She made tea out of it and put it on the bottom of his foot to deliver it. And he drank a few cups a day, and a week later, they x-rayed it, and that had healed through. So it's a miracle plant. And I hate to say this, but we're right at 4:59. We're going to have to wrap this up. So, Thomas, give us a few parting words here.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Ignore what the government says about herbs and listen to this lady.
Yes, and I'd like to say thank you very much for listening this afternoon. And I know you can tell from how we are that we're real excited about this. Keep a challenge in front of you. That was and something that was told to us this morning. And stay happy and take hold of your own health. And we'll see you next week. Hopefully we won't have so many phone problems. Thank you very much. Goodbye.